Morning, the 17th of November. I'm Marcia May Cumber, your host until 10 o'clock this morning. And we're pivoting to Susan Kirsch, founder and CEO of Catalyst for Local Control, a local nonprofit that watches over what's happening in Sacramento and beyond that affects local communities. Good morning, Susan. Good to have you back.
Good morning, Marcia. Nice to be back.
Yeah, it's good to hear from you. And so a lot has been going on out there on a variety of topics at a variety of different levels. Of course, we already, you know, we went through the election, Prop 50 passed. That means we're facing some redistricting. Of course, some people are pushing back on that, and it is winding its way through the courts, I guess, and on some level or another. But there's also other elements being pushed through. Tell us what's on your radar right now.
Oh, thank you. I am focusing on Plan Bay Area 2050 Plus. So just for a brief recap of what that is, like every 8 years, communities need to develop plans. This is a mandate that we do that. And so this time there are really two things happening. One is called Plan Bay Area 2050, and it's a review on four different themes: transportation, housing, the economy, and the environment. And then, secondly, there is an environmental impact report on that plan. So that plan has 35 strategies that they've identified in these four categories. And I think it's helpful just for any of us now to be looking back to 2013 when they came out with the first plan, and to be asking, are we better off now than we were in 2013? So it seems to me, transportation, ooh, worse, congestion, no parking, nobody taking transit. Housing, worse, more expensive, more homeless, more inability to be, you know, thriving. The economy, as Fred was pointing out, groceries are so high, and yes, other elements of the economy are not working for the mainstream people. It's on fire for those people who have gazillions of dollars and assets and working in the abstract of the stock market, but it is worse for people on Main Street. And then third, you know, the environment, you know, the increase in fire and flooding and all of the things that are really messing up our environment, including seven-story buildings being constructed in single-family neighborhoods, damaging things. So the plan is like $1 trillion dollars of plans that they have in each of these four categories. And so what Catalyst has been focusing on is how to wake up the public about that, and also to be focusing our attention on the commissioners who sit on the Metropolitan Transportation Commission, who are the ones who sign off on the plan and approve the environmental impact report, and then also ABAG, the Association of Bay Area Governments. Yeah. So two highlights of since I talked to you last. One is that, you know, I'm so alarmed by what's happening. I wrote an article that was published last Monday in the Marin Independent Journal that anybody interested in this topic, it's called Plan Bay Area's Draft Report Appears Built on False Narrative. That's their headline. I had something stronger. There is a huge problem. And maybe just I can explain a little bit about what the huge problems are. So as you can imagine, in any good organization, you know, your PTA or a regional plan, you would start looking at like how many kids are going to be coming into third grade if you're that, you know. The Plan Bay Area is intended to look at what's the population going to be in the 9-county Bay Area by 2050. And here's where we immediately run into this incredible problem. And that is that MTC staff have done their studies, and they're saying the population is going to increase by 24%.
What?
1.8 million people. Now that, I mean, yes, often elicits a what response, and it's in contrast to our own California Department of Finance, who is much more respected for how they look at numbers, who is predicting 6.5% growth
right.
for the Bay.
And
overall, in California, they predict 2.5%.
Yeah.
So we've got the Bay Area, somebody in the staff predicting this enormously big number.
And why?
Why? So let me just say a couple of words about that. There's over 1,000 pages of documents for both the plan and the environmental report. Mm-hmm. So in the plan, there is a section called the 2013 Settlement Agreement. And what this discloses is that in 2013, there was an out-of-court settlement because a lawsuit had been brought against the number and the plan, Bay Area in 2013, mm-hmm. This is like a mystery novel, by the Building Industry Association. Building Industry Association.
Yeah, they just want to build.
And what they walked away with in this lawsuit, if I'm reading the documents correctly, is that they got authority to set the regional housing control total.
The building industry. And you know, here in Sonoma, folks are quite sensitive over this issue because right now the plans are for Prestwood Elementary to close. We've been going through a lot of review of closing schools due to declining enrollment and numbers going down. So when somebody else says it's going to go up 24%, it's like, what? That's a mismatch.
So, and they explain in their document, they refer to their methodology section, which then I haven't been able to find, which is maybe I just haven't looked in the right places, but I'm, you know, like, anyway, so that's of great concern in terms of this moving forward. And let me mention one other element of the draft EIR. You know, listeners might know, an EIR looks at 14 different aspects of how a program, and just knowing this is called a program EIR, so it's different than a project EIR that would be about a particular plan. This is mm-hmm. for the big whole planning area. So they, in their looking at these 14 different elements, have identified 67 impacts that are dangerous and they have, you know, a potential hazardous impact. And they have then identified mitigation actions that could be taken so that the hazards of a project, and these are categories like, you know, aesthetics and noise and hydrology and water and public utilities, so a bunch of things like that.
Okay.
Of the elements that they had, 67 elements that they identified, over 52% of them, over half of them, after mitigation, are still determined to be significant and unavoidable.
Great.
Really? So, thousands of hours and thousands of planning going into this with big dreams and aspirations. And still, when they rate their own work in terms of the projects they're proposing for transportation, housing, economy, and the environment, over half of them still have negative impacts. So let me just read you a couple of these from the notes that I have. On climate change, I mean, this whole project years ago was introduced because we had to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. I totally agree with that, climate change mm-hmm. being a big deal. Mm-hmm. But one of the significant but unavoidable outcomes is that this results in a net increase in greenhouse gas emissions. What? Okay, so moving on. Hazards and wildfire. This plan interferes with adopted emergency response plans and emergency evacuation plans. What?
Okay.
Water. Inadequate water capacity to meet demand is another one of their findings. It boggles the mind in terms of this plan. So, you know, I'd like to think, you know, maybe I'm missing something, but I can give you some more numbers just in terms of some of the transportation findings that they have, if you'd like to hear more.
They're going to be kind of crazy because if they're thinking things are going to, populations are going to increase around here by 24%, which is an enormous number, the stressors on the transportation system are going to be horrific, right?
Well, here's how they're planning that. Let me just, they've got lots of charts and data. So let me just pull out one here that is
part of it.
Okay, I think this is it here. This is on, they have a table, 2.12, summary of all trips by mode that they're predicting for 2050 plus. They're predicting using bicycles will increase by 264%.
Mm-hmm.
We have an aging population, right? So who of my age is going to be hopping on their bicycle to do the Thanksgiving shopping for, they're predicting 264%. And now what's alarming about that is when they look at driving alone, that they have that going up 13%. Carpools is increasing by 10%. But if we think that the kind of social engineering that they're doing here is what people who live here want for quality of life and satisfactory living and a sense of safety and security, this plan seems to be going in totally the wrong direction. So just to jump a bit and then we can move around however you'd want to. Comments on this plan are due by December 18th by 5 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go to the Catalyst website to a page called the resources page, you can find a bunch of this information printed there.
Yeah.
And if people comment on this now in terms of the failure to trust these numbers for how they're forecasting them, the methodology, the assumptions, you can pick out any of those kinds of arguments about what is in this plan. And that would require that before it comes back to the commissioners, the MTC mm-hmm. and the ABAC boards, the staff would have to explain how they've come to a figure like an increase of 215 people riding their bicycles.
Right. Over 200% increase. Yeah, that's kind of crazy. So, yes, not unless we have a huge movement of the younger generations, into the Bay Area, which seems unlikely given that housing costs a fortune.
The demographers who I trust are saying, like, you know, when they look at the birth and death rate, that doesn't, you know, we're
doesn't
dying
align.
Fast.
Yeah.
Birth. The migration doesn't align with that level of a 24% growth rate. So it feels like, so a bunch of us went to the MTC meeting on last Friday.
Mm-hmm.
We felt like we might have had some of the commissioners who were understanding that these numbers that they're projecting for the population growth is what's having impact on the RENA numbers, the regional
big
housing
times.
Allocation numbers. And connecting the dots, a few of them seemed to understand too that since we have a new law like Senate Bill 79, which would now say cities that haven't met half of their housing quotas set, it seems, by the building industry, mm-hmm. not people in the community. If they haven't met that number, then developers have even more freedom to develop higher and denser to meet the numbers that were set, it seems, by the Building Industry Association.
Yeah.
So if anybody's on this call, I'm looking to find an answer to, like, what is it that has to happen? If there's a court order from 2013, like, what does it take to go back to review a court order and what was presented in terms of the decision-making in a
right.
out-of-court settlement that would have led to this condition that seems to be then just feeding everything like a cancerous
exactly.
growth or obesity
yes.
would grow uncontrolled.
Yes. So
to try to get some handle on that.
Something to dig into, which unfortunately we don't have time to go down that rabbit hole today. But for those listening who are interested in learning more or alarmed about the numbers, Catalyst for Local Control has an every Monday evening group call that you can participate on Zoom. Susan, you want to fill people in real quickly on what that is?
Yeah. To get the register and then get the Zoom link, go to our website, Catalysts CA. So Catalyst plural for California and CA for California, catalystca.org. And that'll take you to our website, and you'll see at the top of the website a place to register for Catalyst Call. And then that will get you into the call at 5 o'clock tonight. We'll go 5 to 6 o'clock. We're going to be talking, hearing from people who testified for the MTC hearing on Friday, and talking then about some of the plans to get information out to every one of the 101 cities and 9 counties in the Bay Area, alerting them to this and asking their city councils to submit comment letters before the deadline of December 18th. And really, anybody else who hears this, who kind of wants to try to get to the bottom of economics and environment and housing and transportation, you know, please join us tonight on the Catalyst Call or send your letter in. It's on our website for where you can send it in. Get some more information and participate. Democracy. It's about participation.
Yes, it is. It's all about participation. If you don't participate, you don't get your say.
That's right.
So good time to get in. Susan, thank you so much for your time today. Appreciate it. Have a good one. Thanks.
Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.